All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at Burrow.com/ACAST, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Ilya Brizgalov, and you're watching the Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorelia? What are you saying, buddy?
This is it. Just recovering from this past weekend. Had obviously a lower back injury that you
See, you're still throwing disclosed. Lower back at you. It's a lower body.
Well, okay. It was a lower lumbar injury. Made it through the weekend somehow.
You know, when you don't snipe a bunch of goals, everyone now, it gave you an excuse. I know what you're doing because they're like, wow, his back's messed up. He even said it.
Yeah, well,
so
I was being honest. I could have very well not played, and
well, we needed you to play. We needed you to play.
You need to pull some weight.
Then I would have been on the ice way too much. I was already out there too much.
Well, yeah, you're playing for two teams, dude. You're draining the legs. Show up to our games tired.
Dude, I don't get tired,
no,
bro.
You don't move your legs.
No, but I can't move them anyway. It's not because I'm not trying. I'm just not very good.
Look at those pins, those things are they're fast.
These are made for hoops, man. Yeah. They're made for hoops. But it was a great weekend, man. It's so much fun.
A lot of
fun. Tournament. Check it for charity. They do a great job. Phil Passarelli and Mitch Leonard, everyone else that's involved. They do a great job, and it's fun, man. You get into it more.
Oh
than
yeah,
you think
it's highly
you're
competitive.
Gonna.
Yeah,
very competitive. And you know, it's funny. Like the 35 plus, which is where we played, and we had yourself and you know Jamie Lundmark and Vince Williams and
Ryan
Zingoni.
Vince,
yeah, Ryan Zingoni. Vince. We have pros. You're like, all right, well, you had to come. You know, me, you throw a slug in, but we win our first game. We got absolutely manhandled in game two by Cassius Dehle, but then Mr. Playoff shows up when we have to play in the playoff round.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Briere, thanks a lot, Danny.
Yeah.
Still got it.
I'm pretty sure that he could probably sign today and be an effective player for the Flyers.
Oh, man.
The way he was moving.
Just the little things that people don't see all the time in hockey with, like, guys like him put a pass through the smallest window.
Oh, yeah.
And the shots in the smallest window. You know, you barely have room for a puck. He still has those mitts, man. But it was a lot of fun, and we had a blast. And had some cool jerseys. Unfortunately, no one saw them.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that, Nass.
Well, you know, yeah. I'll take the blame, I guess. But it was us and Scoops, our buddy, one of my friends, Mike. His jerseys didn't make it either. But they are cool. They have
great design.
Our sponsors, Clear Rum, and Toby's on the back. I don't know if you can see it, but we'll show it later. I love them. We may utilize these for men's league this year.
I think we should. Yeah, well designed.
Yeah.
Well done, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the checking for charity wasn't your traditional men's league game, right? The pace and it was a good competition, good skate, and you know, we'll look forward to men's league this year.
Yep.
Rocking the new outfits.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
New unis.
It's hard for a guy like me to hide at that level and that pace. Oof. I was just trying not to be minus, but I was.
Yeah, it happens.
It does happen.
Well, it was fun.
Yep.
Served its purpose, you know, playing hockey in the community. Saw some people we hadn't seen for a while.
Yep.
All in all, good experience. Huddle up, regroup, and
come back stronger. Drafting,
build back better, Nast.
Dustin Byfuglien. Talked to him yesterday.
Did you?
I'm going to get him here.
Beautiful.
He needed a big fella on the back end.
On the front end, too, right? Yeah.
But, I said I'm getting you here next year. So
let's do it.
We'll try.
Awesome. And then what's going on in the NHL since last week? We talked about some free agents floating around. Big signing yesterday, Calgary.
Yes, they made room. They traded Monahan to make room for Kadri. And I'm not sure the deal, baller.
Seven times seven.
Like
not
you.
Bad. Yeah, like me.
Riggs got that sitting in the bank.
$7 times 7 weeks.
Yeah. 7 weeks, yeah. Yeah, no, but, man, all of a sudden, you know, they put some pieces in there. I mean, obviously with Huberto, but now grabbing him as well. And Monahan's had a tough go the last – it's weird how what happened there, but with him, and don't really know much about him, but he's kind of, like, faded off a little bit. You know, I don't know what's going on, but they did a pretty good job, man.
Yeah.
They got Weegar.
That's a good signing. You know, so, I think everyone thought that – and we mentioned this last week that Kadri was going to go to the island. And
yeah.
Good on Calgary.
Yeah.
If you fill in that void and some, right?
Well,
I mean,
you know, they did something.
Yeah. Yeah, they did something. Yeah. They took action.
They took action. You lose a guy like Johnny, and they tried everything to say. You can't fault them in Calgary because management tried to sign him.
Yeah.
And he just
absolutely
wanted to get back this way. So
good signing. Good competitive guy. Score had a breakout year, obviously. And then, you know, the swap with Gaudreau and Huberto, I mean, it was pretty much a swap for 110 points each, right?
Like that.
Flames are looking good.
Yeah.
And lastly, before we get rocking, episode 83.
Yes.
our friends and fans of Philly. Obviously, we're getting into hockey
wait.
Season, football season. We're waiting on announcing which games we'll be at. But, they got some football games as well. So check out our friends at Fans of Philly.
Yeah, awesome.
Doing an amazing job.
So much fun.
Looking forward to...
If you haven't been, sign up, join. It's awesome.
Absolutely,
so much fun.
Seen our friends there. And just a couple of the trips we went on last year, returning customers and fans, right? You see the same people.
Awesome.
And it's kind of a community built. So a lot of fun. Looking forward to this year and...
Seeing
Joe and company doing it
so
up,
fun,
doing it
man.
Up right.
So much fun.
And in case you didn't tune in last week, we announced the ball hockey tournament. Link will be up officially by Monday to sign up, but lock it in your calendars.
Yes.
October 29th, Saturday, 9 a.m., 7 p.m., National Ball Hockey League. A lot of fun. We'll play 3-on-3 cross ice.
Yes.
Cross court, sorry.
Yeah, and, cross court. And is the trophy going to be as cool as last year's?
It might be. It should be.
You're in charge of that.
Yeah?
We better be raising it.
Well, we better be. We came close.
We did.
We came close.
Pretty good.
Having a banged up team and limited bodies and limited energy.
That might have been the first time I could not. My brain was telling my legs to move and they wouldn't. That's the first time in my life I ever had that happen, and it literally happened. But it's a great week, great day, great tournament. It should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And getting ready to rock here, Nast, episode 83 with our good friend Ilya Bryzgalov.
Mr. What a Universe.
Gem. What a gem.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we are so happy to have one of my favorite players ever. Very animated, very funny, and very honest. Mr. Ilya Brizgalov. Briz, what is up?
Not much. Thanks for inviting me, guys. I'm happy to be here, and I hope we have some lots of fun.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Really good to see you. Briz, so what is going on these days? Like, what are you up to? I know you just told us a little bit about Florida, but what's going on?
I'm moving to Florida permanently. My daughter, she goes to the U Miami. She wants to study. She wants to be a doctor. My son, he's turned 16 years old, and we send him to the Rochester for the boarding school, play hockey. It's a good academy out there. He's in a very important stage of age where he's like, future will be determined, you know, like it's a college time soon, you know, like commitments. It's lots of excitement. And we have a little one. He's like a year and a half old, and I always have a dream to grow up in the ocean, you know what I mean, by the ocean. And I don't, my dream not come true, but I hope my little one has a dream come true. You know, we have lots of time out there, you know, lots of fun out there. It's every day. It's, you wake up, the sun is up, you know, like calm ocean. You go out there, you swim, you do your, like, things, you go to the gym. It's just enjoying, you know, like, yeah. It's a small island when you leave, you know, it's just remote, away from the old BS.
Right. Right. Get away from it. You mentioned before we started recording that you might want to get back into hockey some way, shape, or form.
I would love to. I would love to go, I spend lots of time with my son, coach him, and right now he's old enough. I'm always going to be there for him, you know, like, help him, but he's 16 years old. He start to understand how he supposed to prepare himself and, like, how he got to be mature, you know. That's why we send him away, to make sure he start learning how to take care of himself, you know, to be a man, okay, do his laundries, you know, prepare if necessary food, take care of himself, you know, to be a man. It's like,
sure,
like an army for him a little bit, you know. And that's why I have a free schedule, and I would love to come back to NHL and help around, and because I know I can do it, and I have some knowledge, I possess the knowledge, I can share it, and I wish somebody give me the opportunity. Maybe Chuck Fletcher, remember? Right. I'm still around, you know. And
over
give
here,
me the call, yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm right here.
But I think I can help the Flyers.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I was going to ask you, Briz, like, you really when you came here, obviously we had just met then. I didn't know a lot about you, but I thought, especially coming from a place like Arizona, where probably the media wasn't as nuts there as it is here, but not even that, just the way you prepared for a game, like, you seemed really mentally tough, and nothing really seemed to bother you from my perspective. Have you taught Vladdy that, like, as he's preparing, or is he kind of like you were? I liked how you kept it loose, and, you know, you were always ready to play, but, like, you kept it loose. You didn't seem like a nervous Nelly running around, and you were one of the easiest goalies to take care of as far as their equipment that I found in all 26 years. But is this something that you've tried to pass on to Vlad, or did he have it?
Yes, I always try to tell him, like, he have a high potential. He's a good goalie, you know. He's a great, you know. He's, like, he got everything what he need to be successful. But still, you know, when you're 16 years old, lots of things was bothers you. For example, when he goes to the national camp, he had, like, this season, like, outstanding year, you know, like, he play year up, he play far away because of the, in the beginning of the season was team he's supposed to play was just fall apart because of the politics and other stuff get involved. You can imagine, even kids hockey, it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just bananas.
I'm seeing that.
It's just bananas. And he end up right before the season without the team. And, like, we lucky was one team was offered him the opportunity to play, but it was in the main.
Yes. Okay.
It was in the main, and we not practicing with them. We just played the games with them. He, like, practice with me here the whole season. Sometimes he skates with the
Flyers elite, you know, like, but it's still tough. And he had an outstanding season. And this year they assembled the, like, NDTP team for his age. And he was not being even invited to the camp. And I knew, like, and he knew. And he knew, like, he's much better goalie than was a goalie was being invited.
Right.
We're like, what the hell is going on, you know, like. And, okay, and it bothers him. And said, like, son, you know, like, you have to focus and control on only on the things you can control.
Right.
You know, you can't come to the, like, you can't come and say, like, okay, what they think, why they do that? You know, like, okay, maybe we was delusional and maybe you're not good enough. What's not a case, you know what right. I mean? Because some parents and some players do that, you know, like, or maybe there's another reasons behind, you know, like, we don't know. They not take you, it's fine. It's all you can do, just breathe and continue work hard to improve yourself. Is a player, is a person, is a student. Because there is a, your dream is a make the NHL. And for you, it's important to understand there's a different path. Say, like, oh, what about this guy? This guy, it's a different because he's not Vladislav Brizgalov. You have your own path, unique for you.
Right.
And just follow this path, you know, like, okay. And you just worry about the things. Okay, how you practice, how you prepare yourself, how you take care of your body. You know, you came to the game, you play the game, that's it. You know, like, you can't, like, control what's the USA hockey things or right. coach things. You know, like, you go out there on the ice and do your best, prepare yourself for the best performance. You think they're not fair to you? I always tell them, like, trust me. That is the guys. If you're good, hell of a player, trust me, they will find you. There is a good, like, good specialist, like, good scouts in NHL and, like, in other, like, who they see the talents. They can find the guys, like, look, like Kaprizov, you know, for example,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
He, like, from God forget place, you know, like, you don't know where from, you know, like.
yeah.
Yeah, and same thing is like, for right. example, the like Panarin. You know what I mean? These guys, they was born from who knows where. You know, like
right.
it's somewhere in Russia. I don't even know. You
yeah.
know, like, where's in Russia? But the brightest stars in NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
They are.
No, it's interesting. Like, it's such a profound teaching, right? To just focus on you, and I think a lot of times it gets taken out of context. Is there anything else that you've taken from your experience of playing hockey and learnings that you try and pass on to Vladdy? Because that's a big one, right? Control what you can control. I know it's easier said than done sometimes, but anything else that, you know, sticks out to you as fundamental teachings for Vladdy?
I try to tell him, like, you know, like, all the time kids, like, oh, defenseman or somebody make the mistake, they go, oh, he's not going to make that mistake. I said, like, we're going to be win or wouldn't give up that goal. I said, like, Vladdy, it's, you gotta understand, you make the mistakes too. You can't blame your partners for the mistakes,
right.
you know, like, maybe especially here is like in a junior kind of kids hockey, because, for example, not everybody, for example, on the same level is a hockey player as you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And somebody just playing for fun. Somebody is playing for high goals. Somebody just have a, like, he just playing because he likes hockey. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I said you gotta be supportive. If you are leader of the team, you gotta be supportive. But in the same time, you gotta push these guys too. You just can't say that, okay, he's not that good. Doesn't mean I don't have to push him and to be better. I have to ask him a lot too, you know, like, okay, yes, you make the mistake, shit happen, you know.
Yeah.
But dude, we gotta be better to beat the team, you know. We was that close, okay, we there, we in the game, you know. Forget about this mistake and continue, like, okay, 10 minutes left, give us your best, you know. I know maybe you don't put your in front of yourself high goals, But this is the game. You don't want to walk out of the locker room after the ring and we lose because you give up.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just let's go. Okay, 10 minutes, give it all. Even if we lose, we walk out of the ring, said like, okay, we did everything it's possible. You know, we can't blame ourselves because we gave it all. We done. Next time, we're going to practice, we're going to prepare, and we will try to beat them. But not just accepting, you know what I mean? That's the problem, you know? Like, you can be in a different level of the skills. The problem is of accepting the losing, you know? As soon as you start accepting the losing, if you're barely standing on the feet, that's when you became a loser.
Right. Yeah, no, that's well said. And, you know, teaching that power of leadership and how to communicate that in a positive fashion, right? There's a fine line between being an asshole and losing the respect of your teammates versus what you're suggesting here is communicating it in a positive way.
That's exactly, you know, like most of the players don't understand that.
Yeah.
Most of the players, they think like, oh, fuck, here we go again. You know, why are you such a prick? Because, you know, some of the players, like, they worry about the whole team, you know, and they want to be successful as a whole team. Somebody wants to be just successful on his own, you
right.
know, like yep. got right. some points, got some contracts
yeah,
and other
right.
stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And this is where the problem starts inside the team, because some of the group of the players wants to win badly and they're ready to push. That's what's to create the conflict. Some of them wants to be successful on their own. And when these players just kind of meet inside, say like, okay, guys, we don't do enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you have to step up. You have to be better. You've been in the game, guys. You heard that a lot. You see that a lot. You know what I mean? And that's why I said like, oh, he's such a dick. He's a bit teammate. You know, like he's blah, 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 blah. But that's not a case. They just not understand him or them, because for them, for example, to just make it in the playoff, it's not enough.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you played with a guy that pushed everyone.
Yeah.
Chris Pronger. And he was hard on guys. And he was, when he came in here right before you came, he came from Anaheim where you guys were teammates and you won your Stanley Cup there. It was hard for some guys to have, you know, he'd be, hey, you got to get that puck in, you know, just as an example. You got to hit that red line. They come back, we're stuck in our end because you didn't dump it in, you know, or whatever. But once everyone kind of figured it out that he was pushing for the team, everyone kind of bought into it.
Because he was one of those last old school guys that was still floating around, and then, you know, the younger generation doesn't know how to take that type of criticism. Not even criticism, it's constructive, you know, you know better than I with Prongs how he pushed guys. I mean, you've played with a ton of great leaders. I mean, that team you played with in 06, 07 there.
Yeah, it was. Flooded I was fortunate.
Them.
Yeah, I was fortunate because all my career, actually, I had a good coaches pretty much till the end, probably. Had a great coaches. I have a great teammates. You know, like, yes, I played with a Scott Niedermayer.
Yeah.
I played with the Timo Selanne, you know, like with the, I played with the lots of like, yeah, even Chris Pronger, with the lots of good players. And I play against the great players. Like it was like Lidstrom, you know, like it's so many. And you can see how they perform, you know, like you learn, you know, like Datsyuk, Zetterberg, you know, like it's plenty of guys like. And that era was like Joe Thornton was good, you know, Marlowe,
that's
you know,
right,
like
yeah.
It was like it was plenty of like all these school guys, you know, like. And from the when you start going to the different team, you always start to compare, you know, like. And when you start your career with the highest possible of the leadership, you know, because you're just a rookie, you know. You
yeah.
young guy, you just try to learn something. And with your captain is Scott Niedermayer. And when he takes the whole responsibility on himself and he never blames anybody, he plays perfect game. You know, he's great, you know, out there. and we're in a bad slump, you know, like we're losing, cause something going on. Probably he's one of the few guys you can't blame for anything, you know, like what's going on out there. But he stand up and he said, like, okay, guys, I have to be better, but you got to help me around, you know, like we're going to be here, 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 here. You know, there was a meeting at some point in 2005, 2006 year when we was missing the, we're close to the missing the playoffs, you know, like, and stand up. And he, we turn around like that, you know, and we just lost in conference final against the Edmonton that year. But the way he's like a father to you, you know, like he's always there, he's always helping you, he's give you the good advice, he's never, he will never blame you, you know, he's always supports you, you know, it's just, it helps you, it gives you the wings, you know,
right, you're a
leader
right,
like that, you know what I mean? And when you go like to the maybe different organization and you start comparing, like, oh, okay, this is the captain, okay? I remember same thing with the Scotty, you know, like with Randy Carlisle said, like, what the hell is going on? Young guys here is like, we have some, in the first season, 7 rookies in the team.
He doesn't like rookies, does he? Or is he just hard on him? I don't think he doesn't like him.
Randy, he's like, he was like oldest of the old, you know, like he's like, he's like old, old school.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, right. Yeah.
He's like, you said we have to be like, it's a rule hour before the practice. It's like set everywhere, you know, like we're here, you know, like it's not good enough because Scotty was before you, before you. I said, okay. Tomorrow I'm going to be here like hour 15 before. He came to the locker room. He's like, oh, my God, he's already on the bike. Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to come a little bit early. Yeah. He's like already there, you know, like he's doing some stuff. And you start feeling bad and shamed. The guy like Scotty, like, and like Timu, you know, they working, they preparing themselves, you know, like Scotty, he's like, 3 Stanley Cup, you know, like Olympics. Like he got won everything, and but still there. Maybe not even for him, you know, for the team.
Right.
And you're like, there is no way I came tomorrow and he's like here before me. And you came like so early, like, I made it. Yeah. But coach is already there. You're like, okay. Now you start doing something right, guys.
You're one-upping Niedermeyer, right?
Yeah. You're like, my God, we're in the right path, you know. Like, that's why, you know, like, and you start comparing like the captains of the leaders. Maybe he's not a captain of the team, but the leaders of the team, you know, like, oh, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. You know, he's not a first guy here. He's like, can't blame sometimes of the teammates. And you're like, he's not a leader, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, respect was born, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, whatever you're saying out there, you know, like, you can see, like, you're not truthful to your words. You know what I mean? You playing, you're here not, maybe not to win.
Yeah.
For something else.
Right. It's not authentic, right? It's,
you know.
Yeah,
that.
You know, right.
You know that when there's a speech was, like, throwing, and you know it's like, authentic, or it's just a fake.
Right.
You know, because you hear every day around, you know, every single person, you know, like you watching every day what this person doing, you know, like, and when somebody says something, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not what you say. It's what you do. Right. It's always the action.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, rewinding, you know, your start to your pro career coming from Russia, you start off in Cincinnati, right? Your first, I think, 4 years pre-lockout. Talk about that experience, because that had to have been a culture shock for you.
It is.
I almost got killed in Cincinnati one night. I'm not kidding you either.
A rough
Minding
place.
My own business.
Yeah, right.
I was like, first 3 weeks, no, a month probably I spent with Anaheim because like a training camp.
Yes.
I was Steve Shields was like get hurt or something. I was goes on a first trip with Anaheim. You know, it's like ooh, an NHL. Yeah. It's so nice. You know, yeah. Private jet. You know, good bus, good hotels. You know, everything so nice. It's like okay, it's like every good story comes to the end. You know, he's getting healthy and says like okay, Bruce, you go to the minors, and I fly to I flew to Cincinnati. When I arrived to Cincy, first of all, there is no airport in Cincinnati. There was the first the big one is the Kentucky, you know. Yeah, like
that's right.
I arrived there, it was low clouds, you know, rain, you know, from the sunny California. Somebody picked me up from the airport. I think there was a athletic trainer. I don't remember the name. And it was like, and we start driving. And we was obviously we hit the traffic. And I was like, oh my god, what is this place?
Did you live downtown?
No. Okay. No. They drive me a little bit past the downtown. There was a mall out there. I don't remember the.
What's the old garden?
Yes. And they put me in a four points hotel, you know, like yep. I was like, jeez, man. No car, nothing. You know, I got no car, no language, absolutely alone. You know, you just, I was like, damn, where am I? somebody will pick you up tomorrow for practice. Like, all right. And we came to the rink, you know, like on the road to the rink. There is a old brick ring, and around the area there was a hood with a like there is no even like windows because everything was shut up with a wood.
Yeah.
Like, jeez, man. Where am I? We came to drink. What else? And we start playing. You know, I felt like okay, start playing this season. I had a good season. Everything's good, you know. Mike Babcock was my coach. Made the All-Star game in AHL for the next year. For the next year, he was became an Anaheim Ducks head coach. And when I came to North America, you know, like everybody's like, in the beginning was. Oh, training camp starts. It's going to be so hard, you know, like every guy's in the locker room in NHL, you know, the complaint is going to be so difficult. Oh, it's going to be 3 weeks of the... I went to the training camp and was like, what's so difficult? Yeah. It was like my easiest camp ever. I don't even break the sweat, you know, like I said, like... What? No, really, because the way they coach us in Russia,
when
I came here, I was like, dudes, what are you complaining?
That's great.
And I thought it's going to be like, for my second year for the summer, like, it's going to be easy, you know? Like, yeah. And I stay all summer there, like, I guess... In Cincinnati, you know.
Just you did? You stayed there?
Yeah, we're just having fun with it. Or maybe, no, it's the second year. I don't remember just right now. But basically, I skipped the preparation. And I came to the camp because I thought it's easy.
Yeah.
And I just don't do lots of stuff in the summer. You know, just easy workouts. And when I came, I was like, oh, shoot. That was a mistake, you know. Hard. And I half a year was struggle.
Really?
Yeah, Chuck Fletcher was a GM at the Cincinnati Mighty Ducks. I was a half a year struggle till I could, like, my record was something like was 216 or something, you know. Like,
really?
It was that bad, yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. But Chuck still believed me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he continued to put me in the net, like, okay, continue to play. And after the new year, I will... Getting in shape, pick up the shape, man, and start playing, you know, very well. And after that, had a great year. I played, like, probably most of the games in the league. We made the playoff. We had not bad run out there, like, but it's all good. And I look positive. Okay, next year I'm going to make the NHL. And they said, like, no, you're not.
Another year down there.
I said, why not? Because we got a strike. Look out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And we, I spent one more year in Cincinnati.
You would have played against them.
Yeah, we definitely did.
I remember we came to the
Spectrum. They've got a line brawl there the one time since he came in. Yeah, Dustin Penner. And,
Big Penner, that's right.
Yeah. No, that's...
That was... We were talking about that today, Briz. Like, man, probably went to camp, like you just said, in Anaheim, and then you have to go to Cincy. You're probably, I was laughing just knowing you, thinking, he's probably like, what the fuck is going on here?
And, you know, you still, like, you young, you recovered well, but when you're playing the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and also it's in two different cities, you're like, dude.
Yeah.
And you know coach is bullshitting you, you know, like, because, like, it's a third game, you know, like, on the road, it's the end of the game, you're, like, yelling to the guys, you know, like, pushing, you know, like, move your feet, you're, like...
Three and three.
What are you talking about? What feet? There's no feet.
There's no feet.
The wheelchairs here. For the guys, you know, like, we're going to wheel
push the guys around.
Wheel them on. It is, as we've talked about that before, Briz, like, American League's a good league. I mean, obviously, it's a great league, but to make guys play 3-3. I mean, that's hard, man. But
there's no other choice, you know. In that league, it's like money, right? It's the weekends, but you learn a lot down there. Hey,
in the bus, you know. First year, like, it's my first experience. I didn't know anything, you know. Like, I'm not cool. Guys, like, what are you doing? They bring some mattresses, like, blankets in there. I'm like, what are you going to do with all this mattress? Not like real mattresses, you know, like. And during the watching, they all laying, like, on the floor, you know, between the seats. It's like, they don't care. It's like, it's like a piece of pizza or French fries on them. It's so dirty and disgusting,
dirty.
You know, like, but you have to survive if you want to, if you want to make it, you know, like, it's just, oh my God.
I learned how to sleep on them. After a couple of years, you have to learn how to sleep on them. It's not very comfy, but, you survived those years.
You survived it.
You know what's the you know what's the sucks? I always can understand that. On the road, we have to wear the suits. I'm understanding the home games. Why are we wearing this dress suits on the bus? Yeah, you go to the ring. Nobody sees you. You go in the bus.
Right.
You like undress out there. You wear the suit again. Come back to the bus. And you have to undress. Nobody sees you, you know, like, fuck, let's use the dress track suits, you know, on the road. Why are we even, like, wearing it, you know, like, for what purpose? To look good. For who? Nobody sees. There is no cameras here. Yeah. There is barely, like, maybe 500 fans, you know, on a standing. You know, like, it's nobody. Why you put, like, we already in a so uncomfortable position, you know, like, the tough travel, the food is not good, you know, like, and you... Well, we also do wearing the suit to look good.
So you can get some pizza slopped all over the dress shirt.
It's
right?
Like, oh, you like undressed, like out there uncomfortable, put in the suit, you know. Oh, my God. Yeah. Sometimes I think I still can't understand.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm happy to tell you they've shifted that policy, and it's track suits on the bus now in the minors.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They've been doing that for a bunch of years now. Yeah,
see,
some logic.
Because I'm a visionary, you know. I offered this like 25 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And right now, you know, vision. Like, they came like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess this is a good idea.
Yeah. Briz had a great idea. We'll mix the track suits in.
Yep.
And you just ask the guys around. But you always know that, you know, there's the, like, even like the guys like old school, like, you know, like in the farm team, you know, like you're like 20, they like 35, you know, they like playing the last year. Like, no, it's supposed to be the way it was.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
We
old
suffer
guard.
And you're supposed to suffer.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So Briz, you finally get to Anaheim, you know, you work your way. This is a dumb question, but how great was it lifting that Stanley Cup, man? Like, had to be pretty cool.
It was, but, you know, in that time, you know, in the beginning of your career, you don't understand that yet.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Timo, he was crying because that's is the end of his kind of career.
Right.
But he played. But he knew how tough it is.
Yeah.
How difficult it is, you know, and how valuable this trophy, you know what I mean? And that time we won, yes, there was you're like, you happy, you excited, everything over. But I think in that time I was not understanding what happened. Mm. It's only right now.
Yeah.
And after you playing for the long, long time, you're like, okay, this year we're missing the playoff. Okay, 1 year gone.
Yep. Right.
Oh, that's this true. Year we lost in the first round. 1 year gone. You're getting older. And it's just like that. And it's like, oh, geez, I'm like 35.
Yeah.
And I'm not that fast anymore. You know, I'm not that good anymore. You know, like you slow down and you start like, I don't have that opportunity anymore.
Yeah. Mm. It goes by quick.
I can't, for example, I can't push, not push myself. I can't, I'm not invincible anymore. You know what I mean? I have to play a role right now. I can't take the on my shoulders, for example, and lead anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you start realizing that time, you know, like, oh my God, how was I was lucky.
Yeah.
And the time when we won.
You're probably thinking, I'm going to do this more than once. Right? Or
yeah.
Or this was easy. Well,
I remember, you know, when we went to the finals in 2010, like, I know Claude Giroux had said, I'm like, oh, I'm 20 years old. Like, I'll be back here a few more times, you know, like devastated. We lost, but I'll be back. Man, I was in there 26 years. I didn't play. I was not playing, but it's not easy, and it goes by like that.
Yeah.
Like you said, man.
It's a grind.
It's crazy. People don't – I mean, I think people realize, especially hockey people, understand how hard it is, you know, on you guys, players. But, man, that trophy I think is the best trophy in,
100%.
In sports, man.
You know, because you can have – everything in a place, you know, like to win. Great team, good leaderships, like, and you're ready to win. But, boom, one guy injured.
Right.
Another one done for the season.
Yep.
It's a total different chemistry, total different scenario, and you're not that good anymore.
Right.
Right.
And it's this year gone, and you think, like, oh, this guy's recovered, and you think you can do it this year, but you can feel it's something missing. Something missing, and you're not there yet anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, maybe some of the people, some of the fans who listen, who's like watching, they not understand it because they're not inside, you know. But when you're there, you know, you practice, you play, and you understand, do you have enough pieces to win or you don't have enough pieces to win? Because you're there for every game. You battle every team. And sometimes you have a great team and you're ready to win, but just there is one team you just always struggle with, you know, like. And you meet them in the playoffs and they knock you out.
Right.
If it's going to be any other teams except these ones, you know, like you're going to be go all the way down and you're going to win, but this mother beeper is going to be like in the first round and knock you down because you just some reason can't play against them. It's like Montreal and Flyers, where like when we play them, we always beat them. You know,
right.
For example, you know, like
yeah,
that's true. And you know, it's funny you say that, Briz, because one team we just seemed to never really be able to beat were the Penguins. And your first year, we beat them, and that was. Philadelphia was on fire when we won that series. I mean, it was crazy, and it had been a long time, you know, and the Penguins obviously being the biggest rivalry, you know, you could say. And your first year you came in and we won that series. It was amazing.
It was a nuts.
It was a nuts series.
Yeah, there was like, oh, my God, just a pure offense.
Right?
Nobody cared about defense.
It was like, there weren't many guys getting back, really. But it was awesome. And I just remember the feeling like, you know, because a couple years before we'd been, you know, in the finals. And it just seemed like we were on that path. Even we won game one against Jersey. I think we had that the other day. Baller put that up with Danny B scoring that goal. And then New Jersey ended up coming back and obviously beating us. And they went to the finals that year too. But that was a lot of fun that year, your first year. I mean, you threw up 33 wins in a regular season. And we beat the Penguins, which hadn't been done in a while. And that seem to make everyone happy.
You boost the city.
You almost get a pass not going past the second round, right? Because we beat Pittsburgh. Exactly. You know.
And that year, I think, like, be honest, mistake was being made during the trade deadline. We could be successful, but mistakes was being made through the, you know, the we was a fast team. Lavi, he likes to play fast hockey.
Yeah.
He likes to de-join the rush, you know, like he jumped down the play. And we acquired Grossman.
Yep.
And Kubina.
That's right.
They two huge, they're big boys. Yes. They good players, but they not build, you know, for the system Lobby plays.
Right.
You know, and when he acquired, like, when the Homer make those trades, I was like, wow. What have he done? I love Kubina. I love Grossman. You know, they're good guys, but they just was like, they're not kind of a fit for the system Lavi plays.
Right.
And that's what teams slowing down.
Yeah, Lavi did like to go.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Jump up in the play. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what slows the team down at when it starts problems, you know. Like, and when we hit the, when we start playing the jersey, they play the trap, you know, like at this like tough kind of slow
slower game.
We can use our advantage, use our speed, because there is always a separation between the forwards and the D, because D can't keep up.
Right.
And then we had like, okay, Timo Timonen, he was a veteran at that time too, you know, and like we got some on the lineups. Braden Coburn, you know, he's a big guy too. You know, we got some fast forwards, but a slow kind of a D, you know, and we always, forwards goes in attack. D can't support them. We lost the puck, and that's where it starts, like, odd man rushes, you know, for example, because there is a separation, and they got some speed and attack all the time, you know, like, and nothing you can do, because in a playoff, there is no time to change your kind of a...
Yeah, that's true.
Teach the team to play, like, a defensive style.
Right.
Because when?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Have time.
And also, there is no fast D who can join the rush, who can support the forwards, you know? That was a problem.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's... It is what it is, and like I saw it, and it's like, fuck, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree. I forgot about the I forgot about all that.
Yeah, me too. Good reminder.
I know Vlavi came to the locker room and said, "What the fuck?" You know, like, how? What are we gonna do? How? You know, like, there is like always separation, you know, and they use it, you know, between the forwards and the D, you know, like, and just they're filling this gap every time. They turn the puck over in the neutral zone, boom, there. Boom there.
Yeah, they were a good team too, Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
They ended up going to the finals that year, but I thought we were on our way. But,
yep.
You know, it's like you said, shit happens. Like, boom, there you're done. There's another year. But we've talked a few times. I don't know if you remember this, but you remember you had a three-game shutout streak.
Oh, yeah. It's a steal.
You're right there. You're right there. But I want to know if you remember how that started. Well, I can't.
I have no idea.
Okay, so
ultra prepared over here.
Yeah. So, well, I got to tell this. So, you and I used to watch highlights of hockey before the game for about 10 minutes, usually on my computer there. And then one day you were in there. I had to go do something, so I came back in. And I usually would jump up on the seat or up on the desk, and we would just talk a little bit. But I came up behind you and I give you a little. Like this, and you would you laughed, and you like whatever, and so I'm like, "What?
Did you broke my rib in that?"
No, you said I tickled you, but listen. Oh. So wait, I can't believe you don't remember this. So I gave you a little, like, just right here on the side. You're like, "Ooh," like, and I went, "Whoa, what was that?" And you're like, "Oh, you tickled me," and I'm like, "Whatever." You get a shutout.
Okay.
Next game, I come in. and I'm not even thinking, and I jump up on the seat, and you're looking at me, you're watching highlights, and you look at me, you're like, what are you, do it again. I'm like, what? Do what again? And you're like, you know, tickle me. And someone was in the room. I just don't remember.
So yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? And you go, like, last game, and we get shut out. And I'm like, oh, fuck, all right. So I did it again. Oh. And I remember someone being in there going, what are you two doing? You're like, don't worry about it. Tech
Lynn Briz over here. You're getting them going.
Hey, if it works.
That's my point. But it was just funny. I've told these guys before, man, I just used to love – yeah, a lot of time you come fuck with me, but like I love talking to you just because you're, like I said in the beginning, you're honest, and I just, you made me laugh every day, which is awesome. But I don't know if you remember this too. I got to tell this because we're laughing about it. Do you remember, like, there was a little stretch of time you come sit in my office in the mornings, and I'm like, maybe I'm on the phone with a rap or something. You would just be talking, and I'm like, Chris, I can't hear both of you. Hang on. You're like, no, it's not important. You're acting like, you know, you're telling me you're acting like you're on the phone. So then you went down the hallway the one day, and I hear you yelling my name. You're like, Nastia, Nastia. You're yelling down the hallway, and I'm like, hang on, bud, I'm on the phone. And I can see you're standing there in your full gear. And you're like, kept yelling my name. So I said, hang on. I put the phone down. And I'm like, what's up? You're like, come here. And I'm like, all right. So I run down. And you go, do I look big today? And I said, you look huge. And you go, okay, thank you. And you turn and walk away. And the guys are just loving it. They're losing.
Just
laughing.
Boosting the confidence up a little bit.
He's like, I get down there, and I think it's something like major. And he's like, do I look big today? And I'm like, you look huge, Briz. No one's going to score on you in practice. Don't worry. And he's like, okay. And turns and walks away.
It's nobody did, right?
No, exactly. 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 But, man.
But there was not a case in the next night game.
No, man. I tell you, I just love.
I was shrinked.
Oh, man.
Things like that
just always stick out, man. It was so much fun, man. I tell you.
Yeah, I guess in that night you was not there to pump my ego, you know.
Yeah. I always tried, brother.
It's a, you know, like it's a movie like Heroes 6. You know, this is like you watch it, you know, like a Michelin guy, you know. Yeah. Like,
I do have to ask you. I don't think you ever told me, and I don't even know if I ever asked you. I think I know. Is Nastia, you call me a Natalie or something in Russian?
No,
is it a woman?
Nastia, it's kind of a short for Anastasia.
Oh, Anastasia, okay. Because you had dogs call me that.
Yeah, it's only two people who calls you Nastia. Me and Yags.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because Americans and Canadians don't get that thing.
I wasn't sure understand. Either. I thought you were calling me Natalie, and I'm just like, whatever, man. I thought you were just busting my chops. I wasn't sure what it was.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Yaramir, because he plays in Russia a lot, he knows that name very well, you know.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Talk about your couple years in Philly. I mean, again, we kind of alluded to it at the start, coming from Phoenix. Philly, you know, old school market. Philly media. I mean, overall experience in Philly, and then dealing with the media, because you're a lighthearted guy. I feel like you're always joking, and then sometimes you're forced to kind of call them out on their shit, right? You're misrepresenting storylines, and you know, being honest, right?
It's just 95% of my life.
Well, you know what? It's funny what you said a minute ago. you said it a minute ago. I love when they write things, or just anybody in general. You're not even in the room. You have no idea what's going on. And they just act like they've been told something. But anyway.
You know, there was in Phoenix. There was a... You know, you... That is just a journalist. But this sweet guys, did they ask me the question? I said, Breeze, what's the... for example, what's the... How much miles on the speedometer of your Aston Martin? You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, it's, I guess it's 220. They're like, oh, geez, you know what I mean? They was nice. They not try to pick you. You know, they asked straight direct hockey questions. They not trying to ambush you or create something that was not exist. You know, like. It's simple questions, simple answers, you know, and you have a good relationship. They ask you to answer, you answer it, you know, like,
Here, when I came here, it was different. And Sean Burke, he warned me, said, like, Breeze, where are you going?
What are you saying that? Someone told you you're going to hell or something like that.
He's like, what are you doing? I played there, said, like, don't go there. They're just bananas. I think, like, no, I play in Anaheim. I play in Phoenix, you know, like, people's same everywhere, I guess. You know what I mean? What can be wrong out there? He's like, okay.
You're not turning down a 9-year deal either, right?
Yeah.
Has a little bit to do with it.
It is. You know, I can get a little bit less in Phoenix and continue in a good path, you know, like... Right. Great weather, you know, right, no pressure, and no chance to win.
yeah, right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Right. But I choose the different path. It's like, okay, yes, these guys was in a Stanley Cup final year before. Mm-hmm. They lost it badly this year because of the heavy issues with the goaltending. I think I can go there and help them. And when they come up with a good offer, I said, like, okay, you know. But my main object was, like, I want to go out there and play for the competitive team, and I want to win the Stanley Cup. This was my goal. And when I came here, like, okay. But I didn't expect, you know, like, how do I say that right? I didn't expect, like, the media will start create some animosity around, you know what I mean? Like, they, for example, they come up with some, like, oh, why you slept in on a meeting? What are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
You was not even there, you know, like.
Yeah, right. How does that even come up?
Yeah, like, meeting was 2 minutes, you know, like, it was quickly, like, Lavi was walking and says, like, okay, there was, like, bad night last night, guys, whatever, you know, like, we got to be better, come back. I have no, like, you don't know how to respond. Yeah, you know right, what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you sleep in a meeting? You're like, whoa, hold on. Like, whoa, what's going on? Who's sleeping? Like, what's right. going on? And the problem was, I think, just not only the media. Management, they was not letting me be myself.
Right.
Whatever I would say in the media, they always kind of been displeased. You know what I mean? It's like was a when they not put me in a outdoor game.
Oh yeah,
And I said, like, okay, there was I have a tough couple games, and they asked me, like, do you play tomorrow? I said, no, I'm not playing. You have a team have a chance to win, you know. I didn't say anything wrong, you know.
Like, right.
Yeah, no, I remember. Couple games, like, I play not very well. You know, I'm not happy with my performance. I'm not happy where am I right now. Yeah, Bob, he played well last game. Team have a chance to win. It is sucks. I want to play that game.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to play that game.
Of course.
Do I pissed off I'm not playing? Of course I am pissed off I'm not playing. And this is where it all starts. Jeffries came to me and said, like, why did you say that? I'm like, what do you mean? What I say? And media, you're not playing tomorrow. We told you not to tell anyone. Said, like, whoa. This is the first time you came to me and said, don't tell anyone you're not playing tomorrow. No, I thought I'm telling you. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, whoops.
That's like, it was like, it was amazing. Like, nobody wants to take the responsibility for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. I'm like,
I actually.
Homer calls to me and said, like, you can say this, you can say this. I said, like, oh, okay, keep them away from me. Like, if you don't like what I'm saying,
yeah.
Stay strict to the hockey. They ask me hockey question and answer the hockey question. How am I supposed to know what's going to please you?
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah.
They ask me the question. I give them an honest answer. Sorry for my honesty. What can I do? Okay, there was another case. Was it like we have a back-to-back with New Jersey, you know, like, and it was, oh, it was in the second season. Yeah, I said to the media, we're going to Jersey and we're playing home game. If we're not going to win them both, we're going to miss the playoff, you know. And I said that to the media. And again, called me and said, like, why are you saying this? You can say this. I said that this is, I want to make the playoff. I want to compete for the, like, and we playing like a trash. That is a message I sent to all the teammates, not only myself, you know, to everyone. Guys, to be in alert, to be in alert, because we got to win these games. This is like do or die for us. Not just like, maybe it's count the points after that, if they're going to lose and we're going to win. No, we have to keep the faith in our hands. And we have to be accountable. We go out there and play hard and win the games. Oh, we're in the business here, home and sell. You know, we got to sell the tickets. You said, like, we're not going to make the playoffs. People not going to be attend the stadium. This is where we think differently, you know. I don't care if they're going to attend or not. If we're going to win these games, they're going to attend matter what.
Yeah, that's 100%.
True. That's true.
If we're going to lose, they're not going to attend. They want to see the product. They want to see the passion on the ice. Yeah. They want to see the winning team out there.
That's exactly.
I'm not just like, oh, we lost. We're not going to make it. Let's count the points. If they lose there, we're going to win there. And maybe there, it's going to be good. And maybe they're going to fill the stadium. This is not how it works.
Oh. Hmm. How much do you think it was like management saying that to you because they knew that the media was going to take what you said out of context or spin it? Like, it was almost like they're protecting you, like, to just don't say anything at all? Or do you think it was more like just like, we don't want Briz talking because he's too honest?
Maybe, but you have a choice to keep them away from me,
right?
Because you guys said, they always request, oh, we want this player, this and that and that. Said, okay, but you got a this and that player for the talking today, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
or you can give them.
Well, your name was always on the board.
Always on the board. They always. They knew they were going to get some gold. Yeah.
Because for people that don't know, when you come off after a game, the PR, Zach Hill, would always, you guys were requested, and it would be like 4 to 5 guys.
Yeah.
Now, other guys could get interviewed, but they didn't have to stay in the room for the media. But you guys did. I mean, you were on the board every night.
Is the organization, you got to understand too. This is my personality. I'm an honest person. I'm speaking of my mind, you know what I mean? It's not in my nature. I can't lie,
right?
You know,
right.
I can say like, we'll be better tomorrow, we're not right. Really well, and like, yeah. Hey, if we shed the bed, we shed the bed.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because because everybody saw that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not hard to see.
Yeah,
if you have a bad game, it's you know, the team has a bad
everybody
game.
Everybody saw that and like, okay, this is it. Again, what we can do, again, back to the in our conversation in the beginning, you know, like, okay, forget about, learn mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, we got to do everything as possible tomorrow to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And is a organization, as you can see, this is the do harm to me, to the organization in the media standpoint. I don't think so, because I think when I was there, the Flyers was mentioned everywhere. You know,
yeah,
again,
yeah.
Add the value to the franchise.
Right.
Right now, it's just, okay, when we have something like a bad game or something going on, brewing something not very well, just don't give him my name. Don't give me to the media for the couple of days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Say, like, he's not that's available today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right. Tomorrow he's not available. Everything settled down. Something's new come up. Okay, now you can talk.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, guys, you know, we're not going to treat you every day. you know, you want a treat, you got to earn it, okay? He's going to be available for you.
Right, yeah.
You could have pulled the Marshawn Lynch. You know, I'm only here. I'm only here so I don't get fined.
You got to, yes, like, for example, twice a week. no more, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you had such good sound bites most of the time, and it was, you know, and it wasn't something stupid that they were saying.
We have 23 other players to talk
That's
about.
That's true, right. Yeah.
They were just serving you up on a silver platter every time. Like, to your point, they could easily say you're unavailable, protect you.
Yeah, for there was so many things. Like, it was like, wow, we're playing the Rangers, you know, like at the New York. And again, they come up with some, like, I don't even remember what something. I didn't even say anything, you know, like badly. They like, Lavi called me in the morning. I walked out. Why you throw the bus, teamed under the bus? I'm like, what are you guys talking about? You said, like, you basically said, like, team played bad, you played only well. So I'm like, dude, did you even, like, read what I said? You know, like, they're like, no, but I was told, like, just read, you know, like. And Jeffrey said, yeah, he didn't say anything bad. I said, you see, I didn't say anything, but it's looked bad because I can win the bet. He said, like, what are going to do? Yeah. You know, whatever I'm
they
saying
twist it
is
too,
yeah,
right?
Like,
all I love to twist it.
Yeah. Twist it.
Because said like, yeah, I read the like I watched the video. You didn't say anything bad. Yeah, sorry. Said like, yeah, but why we even come up with this? Yeah. You know, you're not just leave me in peace and let me do my job. Why you always like even like they picking my nerves like as a media? Yeah. Even you inside the organization, like, always picking me. You're not letting me do my job.
Yeah.
Because every day, like, okay, wherever I go, there is my face on TV, you know, like, they're talking about, you know, like, when I come back to the locker room, you always came to me and said, oh, my God, you know, like, you shouldn't do this. Just leave me in peace and let me do my job, you know, that there was a problems with this with the Lavi too, you know, like we have like lots of arguments, you know, like for example, I said like Lavi, I can't do my job well when there's a 2D in front of me, they blocking my view. So like, this is the way I'm playing. I said like, you know, they're not helping me, you know, they just standing in my way of the control of the game.
Yeah,
I said like, that's how I win the Stanley Cup and that's how it goes. And I fought him a year and a half before in the end of my second year, Pronger came to him and said, like, Lavi, why you guys blocking the shots, not let a goalie see the puck? He said, like, yeah, it's a great idea. And came
of course, yeah, right.
He came to the locker room, like, we got some 10 games left in the season, said, like, we changed. We don't block the shots anymore. I said, dude, that's what I'm talking to you like a year and a half about. I ask you, just let me do my job. Let me see the puck. Let me control the rebounds, you know, because when I see the puck, I'm going to swallow it and I put it in the corner. When they've players and they like offensive players in front of me, and once they bring the D in front of me, you know, like I can see things. Yeah. I can find through the four bodies. Puck hits somebody in the pants. Bounce on the side, boom, they score empty net, that's it, done. And you know, you should know, like, I was, these 2 years, was not myself, because I was constantly, was throwing out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to fight.
And defending yourself almost the whole time.
Yeah, you have, all the time, you have to fight the media, management, you know, like some teammates, because like, oh, you didn't play the way you supposed to play, you know, like you used to play, but they doesn't know what's going on with you, you know, what's happening. They only see this like surrounding, you know, but they doesn't know. Nobody asks like how you feel, you know, like how you felt inside. And like in my second year, you know, like after the lockout, they right away like, oh, what's gonna be? They're gonna buy you out, you know, like you're the first, you and Danny Briere, who is gonna be. How is this supposed to help me out to perform for this team when is it just my second year out of the 9-year contract?
Right.
And you just start talking about everywhere, they gonna buy me out. Is it gonna help me to perform?
No. Jeez.
No, it's not good.
What a situation.
Yeah.
It's amazing insight, honestly, because I knew you were tackling a lot of pressures that were, well, I mean, they come with the territory being in Philly and everything, but like squeezing you, like to your point, like you have to defend yourself all the time. You can't be yourself. It's hard to perform in any line of work when you can't be yourself, right? You can't find that flow.
You try to deal with that, you know, like. Obviously, I was 30, early 30s, you know, I don't have, like, right now, I would definitely probably will handle it different, all of this, you know. Like, and still, you young, you go, like, on a big market, you have no experience, you know, with that. You try to be the best players on the ice, and also... You try to be a good teammate and help the team and to be good for the fans, you know, they're going to love you because we played for them, you know what I mean? In the end of the day, you know, like, whatever you do, everything turns around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And you're like, when you buy me out, I said, like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
You're probably, at that point, you're probably thankful for it, honestly. Relief of the pressure. Since you're talking about all that stuff with, like, you know, the media representing you, the whole HBO thing, you know, like, it obviously goes viral, the whole universe thing. Like, do you think that was, like, deliberately to kind of, like, pull that out to show, you know, to almost, like, mock? Because I feel like you're a pretty deep guy when you talk, right? You're big into philosophy smart, and reading. Smart, you're smart. Yeah. And you're talking about something that's hard to describe and communicate in English language.
This is amazing. You know, this is amazing. This is the another case. After the third or something episode, Lavi came to me and said, like, you steal the show. Okay, what I gonna do if it's great. HBO producers
right.
force them to shoot me because I express different interests in lives and that's what auditory wants to watch? They worry about
ratings.
Ratings, yeah. Right, yeah, they exactly, worry yeah. about their ratings, yeah. And they doesn't. People doesn't want to see the same interest. You know, like HBO. Okay, they ask me the question. They ask me about interest. Okay, you have a golf, for example, interest. Somebody have some fishing interesting. You know, but. It's a common, you know, between yeah. the people. Yeah, I play golf. I like the fishing, everybody. But I have a different interest, and that's why I express I like the universe, you know.
Right.
I like the learn and study about the how was world was created, not only our world, like everything. There's all this physics, all the chemistry, you know, all this process, you know, how was life was born, you know, like... Everything, you know, like a small particles, you know, like there's these atoms, like hypothetical particles like a tachyon, you know, with negative mass, you know, or it could be neutrinos. So everything, you know, like from the small things, you know, you start learning how this world was created, you know, like. It's so interesting, you know. You start to understand, you know. Like I used to hate physics, you know, like and mm-hmm. chemistry. You know, remember
yeah,
the school?
Yeah.
You
oh
like,
yeah,
oh,
right.
Awful. Shit, awful. You know, like man, because you don't understand the thing about, you
right,
know, like
right.
they like okay, second law of the Newton. You're like, what are they talking about? You know, like, you know, like a gravity and like you know, like energy and all this stuff. As soon as you start to understand. Gets you more inside, and you know, it's like a rabbit hole. You know,
yeah.
go in there and just learning. And I think that's what should NHL do. You know, that let the players express their real, genuine interest to the public,
yeah.
and the fans gonna. It might be gonna brought them even more fan base to the.
True.
Because of like, somebody have no zero interest in hockey, you know, but they said, like, oh, this dude likes the, for example, or butterflies collecting, you know, like,
right.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great great player, but beside that, he's collecting the butterflies, whatever. He's
right.
It is the people around the world who likes that.
But it's and why they interviewed follow different people. They right. interviewed everyone,
right.
and that's why. You know what I mean? They asked almost, I got interviewed. You know, like everyone there was interviewed, and that's why they do it.
Yeah, and they have to express their genuine interest. That's why I want to share my interest with the world. And I didn't know, I didn't expect it's going to be have a such a
huge impact, basically.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah, huge impact.
Like, I mean, Siri, if you asked her who Mr. Universe was.
Mr. Universe.
I mean, that's pretty impressive, Briz. I tried last night to show Elvis that. It actually doesn't come up now unless you say what goalie is considered Mr. Universe, and then it came up.
Yeah, and it's like it's amazing. That's why, you know, I think like we should be more open for the fans, for the public. You know what I mean? Not just to come out after the game with the boring interview. This team play better, and we should be come up stronger tomorrow. And they're like, oh man,
yeah,
everything cliche. Like,
yes. We right now live in a different world than was it 30 years ago or 20 years ago. Right now is all this like TikToks, whatever, like Twitters, whatever.
You would kill TikTok, by the way.
It's right now, you know, like, you know, it's everything in the social media.
Yeah.
And we should use these platforms, you know, to expand the game, you know, the... meet the fans and players with a different interest, you know what I mean? That's what's to grow the game. Yeah, it's a game same, you know.
Yeah, show the players' personality, interest,
who they
right,
are,
100%.
Yeah, who they are,
I agree.
How they come up, you know, from maybe somebody from the farm, somebody from the rich family, you know, like show the interest, show their personality, you know, like to the world,
right?
Show their past. Because there's a kids watching.
Yeah. You know,
and somebody's like, oh my God, I'm exactly like him. And he's there.
Yeah.
I can do it too.
Right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
He tell me that his story, you know, he show me his story. Oh, he got the same interest as me.
Yep.
I'm going to follow him.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not going to lie, like some of the audio bites from those clips were hilarious, but that's like what TV does well is edits and produces, right? It's almost like they're poking fun at something serious. They're drawing something real out of you, and then, you know, like to Labby's point, you steal the show because they edit it and they make it go viral, right? I mean,
well, they wanted it to be stolen because they liked you. I mean,
and that was not my intention.
No, of course,
you know
not.
What I mean. I was like, and at some point, I like
being yourself.
At some point, no, they came to me and said, like, guys, please don't shoot me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I asked them, like,
oh.
HBO.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I asked the HBO guys, said, like, please, guys, don't do it because it's like.
It's getting out of control.
Well, I got to ask you this, Briz. I don't know how I never saw this, but we found that video of you in an astronaut suit.
Yeah.
Would it have fit me? Because the way you were walking, you look like you're in more pain or in something way too small.
It was like
you're hunched over.
You're hunched over. You look like you're in pain, man.
Listen, first of all, this is a real suit.
Okay.
Real suit that astronauts goes to the space. It's every suit was exactly measured for the every astronaut, you know? It's not like a one suit.
Right.
And this suit was for the guy height 6'1".
Okay.
it's only one they have available.
Yeah.
And I'm a 6'3". And you have to understand also this suit, even for the guy 6'1", was made a little bit short because you got to understand, when they go to the space rocket, before they go out of the atmosphere, they always in a sitting position, and they goes like 8 hours, something like that, in a sitting position. That's why this suit, even for the 6'1", guy, was made it a little bit smaller. That's why he always in a kind of a curling position. When you get
right.
to sit down, you start feeling comfortable.
Okay.
And can you imagine? There was this, for the little bit small for the 6'1" guy. And I was a 6'3".
Yeah.
I fit in that suit. But you got to understand, there's like cuffs. And the neck for the scaphander and like and the legs too, they made from the titanium steel.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I get in easily. The get out was
It's hilarious.
There was a like I was struggling to get out all like an hour. I'm all sweaty, you know.
Yeah.
And we like almost give up. And we all
jaws of life.
They start calling the 911 like in Russia because they have to call for the special. This suit worth 100 grand.
Come on.
Yes. They're supposed to, they like start calling the 911 to call the guys like who's not with it, like they cut the thing, you know, like because I'm like, jeez, my God, I'm gonna have some burns right now, probably.
What did I get myself into?
They almost called and I was able to get out. Yeah, so let's get this push, you know, because like here's like you can't, like you gotta.
Oh man, you look painful, man. It was just hilarious.
It is, but the experience to be in the facility where they prepared the astronauts, and there was a exact copy of the International Space Station out there, and walk in there, you know, like and sees everything, and talking to the real astronauts, you know, who like been there a couple times and live in half a year. It's incredible, you know. Sure. These people is like cool. Real heroes, you know. Like because, first of all, to sit in a rocket and go to the space, everything can go wrong.
Rocket
can go. Yeah.
Yeah, and also when you get there to live in a small space station for the half a year and they study something out there, they do always something. And no gravity. I said, how you guys sleep there? I said, it doesn't matter how you sleep. This is how you hang in your bed and lay down. It doesn't matter because there is no up and down.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they also said that there is always one side of the space station hot, another one always cold.
Mm.
You know why?
No.
Because one side is always under the sun.
Oh.
And another one is always hidden from the sun.
Right. Okay.
You know, and that's why when the sun hit the one side, it's always hot. Another one always cold because as soon as you get out of the Earth, and if its sun doesn't, no sunlight's on you, that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was amazing. Yeah. And you think, like, you know, watching the movies, right? Like Star Trek or something.
Yeah.
There's like, how this is like whatever, it's gonna be like super like buttons out there, everything like that. No, when you go there inside, it's everything so simple and so functional. Simple like buttons, like say why? I said like, it's nothing like in the movie. Said like yes, Ilya. Like can you imagine like it's something broken? How are we gonna replace it?
Oh.
Yeah, right.
It's not like you bring it from the
from the
store.
Bring it over and fix it.
Yeah, because it need if it's something major, they get rushing out, you know, to get another rocket, send it over there, you know. But they're not gonna send it rocket because it's very expensive to replace the button, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean? Like that's why you have some. It's amazing, you know, everything, how it built, how they live out there. It's fascinating, the stories they tell. I asked him,
sure.
They said, did you see something suspicious? Did there's aliens out there? He didn't answer it.
He didn't. That's crazy.
Yeah.
He didn't answer it. I said, like, I'm pretty sure, like, because, like I said, it's like, it's a humongous big.
Yeah.
It's a humongous big. We can't even comprehend the size. Our brain can't, you know. It's just...
Right.
And we only think like we won the universe.
Yeah,
there is a life out there. But the problem is like we never will find out about each other.
Right.
Never, ever, ever. Because the size of the universe is like
and the distance. Like, our life begun here, is like, as we know, for example, right now, as human beings, you know, who is smart. To travel and send somewhere for the five, even like 5 million light years away, you know, is life out there. The information, when is it get there, even with the speed of light, our life wouldn't be here. We're not going to be existing.
Yeah, right,
they
exactly.
will receive it. They will send it back to communicate. There is nobody here to receive it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
It's as simple as that. Or maybe they advance out there. We send it. There's nobody to receive out there anymore. You know,
yeah,
right? Because it's how life. It's everything was built about, like, you know, like star supposed to give us a energy, warmth. You know, like everything. Even the planet have some like water out there, but still stars and all. Is it how to say that right? Star have a limited resources too, and it will eventually die. And
right,
the whole life will die with
all
it.
Life
you know?
Dies
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
That's why it's always and it will be reborn eventually
right,
again.
Exactly.
You know, with a different generation of the star, but the life will be end out there, and it's only new ones. You know, starts and it's everything's like
it's a always cycle. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we'll never probably find out about the any
right.
other, but it's there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting
probably
stuff.
Playing hockey.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Yeah, I got a really good question for you, Briz. What do you think about Riley's man bun?
I think it's good. He remind me, you know, like I had a game like it's a Japanese, you know, video game, you know, that it was
a
like
samurai of some sort.
Samurai,
yeah,
it
right.
was running at the.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Nasty's all over it. He wants me to chop it down.
Hair. He needs to cut it. I tell him he's got to cut it.
At least he doesn't have earrings.
I don't have any earrings. I don't.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah that's yeah. true. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
Because I went
take
to
that
New, I went to the New York yesterday. Ooh, I saw some things, man. I couldn't sleep
could
all
be
night because, yeah, because it disturbed me. Disturbed me a lot.
Oh, my God.
Giving you nightmares.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Before we let you go, Briz, just wanted to ask your opinion on the Flyers. The current state of the Flyers and the direction they're going. If you're even following hockey, honestly.
Yeah. No, I've been a couple times this year at the games. First of all, I want to say to the Chuck Fletcher, my old friend, said, like, if need any help, I would gladly help. Because I think it became my city, even we was... how to say that right, was separated and not in a very good way. I think I have a obligation to the city, you know, and if
that's
they
cool.
give me obligation to the city, if they give me the opportunity to help to build something here good and great, I would gladly to join the organization back and like and help around, because I think I'm ready and I can give so much.
Yeah,
I think what Flyers, what I saw a couple games last year, I think there is no more excitement in the team. There is no more excitement in the players. I think there was, like we talked about before, there is a start accepting the losing
yes.
isn't normal.
Yep.
You know, that was unacceptable. Also, I think there was a lack of the leadership in the team, because it's tough to watch, because there is no more excitement. You know, that's not a Flyer we used to know. We used to play, you know, like, what else to add to that? You know, like,
like lack of identity, right? Like, Flyers and notoriously have that identity, that spirit, culture.
You know, it's like you're watching. It's a gray mass out there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? There is no, like I said, there is no bright players. You know, who can like you watch and you're like, oh my God, look at this kid, huh? Like, look what he's doing out there. Even if you can missing these players, you know, you can draft them later, but there is, like you said, Riley, there is no identity. You know, there is no excitement in a team. Mm. Yes, there is. It's also, and it's, I think they still continue in that path. Like, I was being amazed when it was they criticized the young goalie, you know, Carter.
Yeah.
I was being amazed. I said, they doesn't learn anything yet. Well, kid young, he just came to the league, and you put on him a label. Is it like, he's not working hard, he's not that good, you remember?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, trying to destroy him.
Did you even understand what you guys doing?
Yeah.
Because wherever he goes right now, no matter how hard he is going to be working, for most of the people who is not smart, you know, I would say that it's always going to be not enough because somebody put the label on
100%.
Him.
100%. Right.
Put it out there.
And said, oh, he probably could, like, work harder because he knows he's a lazy boy. You know? Yeah. But it's not true.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, and even right now as a young kids came to the league, you know, it's management also have to adjust. You know, they different. They grow up different. They grow up in a different era, and they need the different. Yep. Every single of them have to need to be handled differently.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And I think Flyers can do much better. City deserves much better. Yep. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't know. This is what I saw maybe 4 or 5 games last year. You know, like. But like I said, I would love to help if they let me do that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it's gonna be a interesting test this year. I'm not sure if they necessarily upgraded their team. You know, they made a couple moves in the offseason, haven't replaced G's goals or points. I guess they're just banking on Hayes and Couturier
to
getting
back,
healthy,
healthy.
Contribute.
That'll help a lot. And you did get Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah, right. That's the upgrade of defense there. Yeah.
Hopefully Ryan Ellis can get back. We don't know what's going on there, but yeah.
What happened to him?
Torch will push them.
Torch is a good.
Yeah.
It could be good or it could be really
yeah,
bad.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends, you know, like, because Torch, he's like oldest of the old dinosaurs, you know.
Right.
You know, he's not messing around.
No, he doesn't.
No.
And this is the question, you know, like we're talking about. There's a new guys, you know, like young players who grow up differently.
Yeah.
There is nobody asks them for anything when they grow up playing hockey. You know, right. Coaches?
No.
Hey, do whatever you want. You know.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
That's how they play. You know.
Yeah.
And when they go to the under the John Tortorella Iron Fist,
yeah.
Can they handle that pressure?
Right.
Yeah.
I think Torts. We've heard from a few guys that have had him in the last couple of years that he has calmed. He's calmed down a bit. But he holds you. I worked with Torts with USA a few times, and he just holds you accountable. You know, like but he's hard. He's like
it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You can't go on the ice, perform, and not being responsible for your actions and for the actions of the team.
Right.
You there is a whole, is a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you win as a team, you lose as a team. Yes, there is a behind the doors we can talk about individuals' actions. Yeah, why this is happening? Why you not doing what you're supposed to do? What goes through your head? You know, like what's going on?
Yeah,
true.
we will see. Like you said, it could be great or it could be really bad. You know, you're gonna go on a stretch and lose a few games, and the media will, you know, get some good audio bites out of them. But then,
it's gonna be exciting.
It's gonna be entertaining. Yeah, exactly. And then eventually, it could get redundant.
He will not take any shit from the media either.
No, he won't.
He's great that
but
way.
But I hope they're gonna do very well next year. No, probably this year already soon, because I think City deserved finally the good performance in the ice. Fans deserve it. They're waiting for the long time, and it's like, it's tough, you know. It's going to be another year.
It's going to be another year.
It's
hard.
But at least I hope they're going to see, like, some spark, you know.
Yeah, we hope so, too.
Been talking about it for a couple of years. I think this is hopefully the year, so we'll see. But we appreciate you, Briz.
Need to bring the excited people.
Yeah, exactly, right. You got the spirit back.
We're not arguing, man. We're not arguing.
They're lobbying for you. Get a job. Yeah. Keep you around here so you don't move to Florida.
No, I'm always on my phone. Derek has my phone.
Yeah.
If they give me a job, I will be there.
Yeah.
And I still sell the house.
I told you I'll buy it. I just don't think I can give you what you want.
Start raising some capital.
Yeah, I have to do something.
Hey, try to buy a lottery ticket.
I should. If I win, I'll buy your house for sure.
Yeah, because like what last year or somebody else win the $700 million, you know? Like,
oh man.
I wouldn't mind. I might buy clear rum if that happened. I don't think I can afford that. But Briz, seriously, thank you, man. I know you're a busy guy, and really appreciate you, man. Miss seeing you all the time, obviously. But we appreciate you coming out, man, giving us your time.
No, thank you for giving me opportunity to join your podcast. And I don't see you while, guys, you know, like, because I kind of away from everything. And it was nice to see you. Really.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just unbelievable. Too,
that was fun. Awesome. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.